The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So my baseball history books told me that Babe Ruth was a really good baseball player. Right? I was assuming that that was the case my whole life. Well, Adam Ottavino of the Colorado Rockies said that if Babe Ruth were alive today, and he'd be very, very old if he was, that Ottavino would strike him out every single time. Because back then, you just drank beer and had hot dogs, and you went up and you gone against pitchers who worked the rail yards during the offseason. And now pitchers are highly trained athletes with advanced training that know how to throw a ball a lot faster with a lot more movement than Babe Ruth would ever be able to see. The question isn't, and this is a kind of a fun little topic because it goes back to like taking players from certain eras and putting them in new eras. I mean, could Jim Brown be as successful in today's NFL as he was in the 60s, et cetera, right? Would Bill Russell still be a dominating force in today's NBA? We've done this for years and years and decades. But Adam Ottavino's point is interesting because he is correct in one way. Babe Ruth wasn't facing pitchers that were highly trained and, you know, monitored their weight and strength and had advanced training and diet. They played guys that played baseball and then went on and did something else. And there wasn't a lot of emphasis on turning this into a successful career with investment into training opportunities and keep yourself fit all the way around. And yes, Babe Ruth was a beer-chugging, hot-dog-eating behemoth of a man that had a lot of power swinging his bat. But the reality of it is that's not the question. The question really is, could Babe Ruth, if he came today, could he adapt himself to today's pitching? And I kind of think he would. He was a solid baseball player. But it's a funny conversation. Adam Ottavino is getting kind of hit hard for this because I think people are like, no, Babe Ruth was the greatest baseball player of all time. But in reality, I think his point is not to be overlooked. He was not facing the same kind of pitching or the same kind of pitchers in his day, but that doesn't mean he couldn't still swat 60 home runs getting his timing down. But it still brings up, it's just an interesting conversation piece. But I'm kind of actually glad he brought it up. SB Nation AM.
Waited to the last minute to do your gift shopping? No problem. Head over to giftingmap.com today to see the amazing curated collection of gifts and gifting ideas that the team has assembled for you. Giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting. Back to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, SB Nation AM, Tony D, Ron Culver. I should mention, as I was talking about Adam Ottavino of the Colorado Rockies, that he is 33 years old, and he had a great 2018 campaign, had 112 strikeouts in 77 innings. However, I don't know if he would strike out Babe Ruth every single time. Babe Ruth didn't strike out hardly at all in his Major League Baseball career. He had an amazing ability to make contact with the baseball, even if it wasn't a home run. He was a fantastic hitter. He wasn't just a power guy that would get up and either strike out or hit a home run. He put the ball in play a lot. He walked a lot too, but he put the ball in play a lot. It's kind of a fun little debate. I think Adam Ottavino is getting a lot of grief. If he had mentioned somebody else, like if he had said Ty Cobb or something like that, it might have been
he still would have gotten singled. This is his maybe moon landing.
This is moon landing?
Yeah, this is just say something outrageous. Get your name in the paper.
Well, he was on a podcast for MLB. Again, why are these always
was
happening
called?
On podcasts?
Winging it?
Exactly. An MLB's StatCast podcast. StatCast podcast.
StatCast podcast.
Yeah. That's a tongue twister. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck? He said, quote, I had an argument with the coach in AAA about Babe Ruth's effectiveness in today's game. I said, Babe Ruth, with that swinging that bat, I got him hitting 140 with 8 home runs. By the way, why not 175 with 6 home runs? Why not 210 with 3 home runs? How did you come up with 140 with 8 home runs?
Moon landing.
He said, he was like, are you nuts? Babe Ruth would hit 370 with 60 home runs. And I'm like, I would strike out Babe Ruth every time. And this is the quote that I like. He said, quote, I'm not trying to disrespect him. You know, rest in peace, as if he just died yesterday. Shout out to Babe Ruth. But it was a different game. I mean, the guy ate hot dogs and drank beer and did whatever he did. It was just a different game. Well, it was a different game, but not really. I mean, it was still 90 feet to first base and 60 feet, 6 inches from the plate, from the mound. Yes, different stadiums and everything like that, but it wasn't like you're using different stuff. It wasn't like you're using like in golf. It's hard to compare old Tom Morris to Jack Nicklaus. I mean, the equipment was so completely different. It was crazy. Baseball and a bat.
They used real trees. They didn't use
exactly.
Bats.
Give me a break.
They just went out into the woods, found a big stick, and used that. That was their bat.
So Deadspin came out, and they are actually believing that Adam Ottavino might be onto something.
Well, okay, you know what? I will concede this, that you know the art of pitching has definitely transformed from Babe Ruth's era to now.
Guys are throwing much harder.
They're doing different things with the ball, whether it's curveballs, split finger fastball, sliders, sinker, knuckleball. I mean, there's a lot of various pitches, and they seem to be trying to come up with new ones every single year. I mean, that's why we have this, rise in surgeries as well.
So why do we believe that Babe Ruth would be effective in today's game just because he's Babe Ruth? If that's the case, if he is hitting home runs, if Babe Ruth's entire career is hitting home runs of people who can somewhat throw a ball somewhere near a plate, and we don't really know in terms of movement or velocity, how do we know Babe Ruth wouldn't strike out every time against Adam Ottavino? Right? We're assuming Ottavino is crazy, which I am.
Yeah,
but the reality of it is
that this is his moon landing.
Deadspin's point is the same one I made. He said he launched those dingers off of railroad workers and saloon owners. And that's true,
yes.
Right? These weren't guys who were 24/7 dedicated to the craft of pitching a baseball like we have today. Right? But there's something about Babe Ruth that is, like I said earlier, if you do it against other type of players, maybe this argument makes sense, because at its core is what kind of pitching is Babe Ruth receiving? What velocity are those balls coming at? Has he ever seen a 100-mile-an-hour fastball? Had he ever seen a 95-mile-an-hour curveball in his career? How would he catch up to that if he was going up against guys who were just getting it over the plate in some form or another?
I mean, at the crux of all this is the reason why we make a big deal of it is because you're challenging God. You didn't challenge one of the apostles.
Right, true.
And that's where it's like, oh, no. You know, historians will come in and be like, no, Babe Ruth, he's the great one, the greatest player who ever played the game. We don't really know. I mean, we all know that he benefited from all those home run totals because the right field stands at Yankee Stadium were brought in a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
There was a shorter porch, hitting to right field than it was to left field, and it's still that way. I'm not saying that it's easy. And the one thing you have to give credit to Babe Ruth for is that his eye-to-hand coordination was incredible.
Was really good, right?
Because you still have to hit the ball. It doesn't matter how fast it's coming at you. You still got to make contact.
I think it would be, if you could create this in some magical fantasy world, I think it would be unfair to say Babe Ruth couldn't adjust. So I don't think Ottavino is crazy. I think, as a matter of fact, I really actually like this. I like the fact that he brought that up because I think it does point to an evolution in all of the games that we have.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
Like that's what I like the most is the fact that we're seeing an evolution where you really can't bring the two eras together. It's very, very difficult because of the specialized training and everything that goes about in the two. Like, guys aren't working as ice haulers, in New York City in the off season, right? Well, they're not doing that.
Take it a step further. You take Steph Curry now and drop him into the NBA in the 1950s, 1960s, when, the Celtics are reigning supreme.
Yeah.
They don't have an answer for him.
Yeah, he averages 80 points a game.
Easily. Yeah. And because he's just shooting from outside, and they'll be mad at him for doing that. Like, what are you doing? That's not basketball. You can't be taking shots from midcourt.
Now, I do want to say that I don't want to give the impression that old-time baseball was just, hey, can anybody play this game? Please show up at Yankee Stadium tonight as we take on the Boston Red Stockings. That's not how. There was a scouting department. There were people that knew the game. There were people that evaluated talent. There were people that really, so you had to do some things correctly. When they bring up saloon owners and railroad workers as if they just went down to the old rail yard and like, you, you're suiting up tonight for the Yankees. Like, that's not how it went.
Now,
so
here's where this argument is valid. If you went to, say, 1927, you borrowed the time machine from Doc Brown, went back to 1927, you kidnapped Babe Ruth and brought him to today's game and said, hey, you're starting for the Yankees today. They're going up against the Red Sox. Chris Sale is pitching. I'm betting Babe Ruth has a really tough time. But
if you
take that 17, 18-year-old Babe Ruth, who was, in the minor league system, who was first spotted out of that orphanage in Baltimore, and then bring him up through the farm system, he's the Mike Trout of the era.
Oh, doubt. No, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely. If he is today, exactly. I agree.
I mean, because if you groom him for today's sport, he's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
But I think where the issue comes in is, sitting there saying, if you just take Babe Ruth out of 1927 when he was at his peak, I think that was the year he hit 60 home runs, right?
Right.
27 or 29. You take him in that era and just throw him onto a major league baseball field today, yeah, he's going to struggle.
But we've seen this argument before play out with the absence of African-American baseball players at Babe Ruth's time, right? The argument had been, well, he didn't face some of the best baseball players of his time. They were playing in the Negro Leagues, right? We've seen this argument before, but we haven't seen it like this. So this is seen as crazy, but the African American argument, that actually is legit. Like, that's a legit argument because you're talking about some guys that played to a lot of people who saw it at that time seemed to be playing baseball on a different level. Right, there was guys who really played the game really well. They just couldn't get into the major leagues at the time. So we've seen this argument play out before. I think this is kind of useful. This is kind of neat because I don't think people think of Babe Ruth's era the way Ottavino has been placing it and the way people are now describing it. Like, again, he wasn't pitching against he wasn't hitting against nobodies, but a lot of guys that he faced wouldn't make a major league roster today with that same stuff that they had.
No, a lot of those pitchers, they wouldn't have it. I mean,
yeah.
How effective would Cy Young be?
Yeah, that's another one. That's another point, right?
Against today's hitters, his numbers are somewhat inflated because they didn't operate on a five-game rotation.
And by the way, tell me there's a ceiling to this, that in 100 years, the kids then or the guys then aren't going to go, huh, Mike Trout, pff, he never had to face 162 mile an hour fastball.
We would sit there and say, of course he didn't. He didn't have robotic implants.
Right, exactly. Exactly. John, well, he wasn't facing the cyborgs that we've built to entertain us. In a century.
Maybe we'll concede that no matter what era, Michael Jordan would be the greatest basketball player of all
time.
That
would probably be the case.
I mean, we argue about it now, and we kind of put him just above LeBron.
Right.
And say, because Jordan played in an era, I guess, where it was a much more physical sport than it is today. So LeBron's kind of benefited not having to be so physical.
Very, very interesting, Adam Ottavino. Nice job. Speaking of LeBron, he raised heads the other night in his game against Dwayne Wade at the conclusion, and has one city kind of wondering, oh, really? That next on SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Hurst from Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by our great friends at Jeep. Got a tip today to keep you safe during the holidays. With Turkey Day behind us, we really kick off the holiday season. Some of us come alive this time of year, but some really struggle. Holiday traffic and winter weather are bad enough, but it seems everywhere we go, somebody wants something from us. And it all costs money. Money that some of us just don't have. Holiday stress affects everybody differently. Some just roll with it, but many really don't handle it very well. And the very next thing just might push them over the edge. So the next time you're driving to the mall to throw open your wallet and somebody really doesn't see the light change, think twice about blasting the horn or making that gesture. You never know when your action just might push somebody over the edge and they really lose it. Please, show holiday spirit and cut the other drivers just a little slack. There's no better time to play it forward than the holiday season. This is Mike Hurst from Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
It's the Jeep Black Friday sales event, the perfect time to get great deals all month long on capable Jeep brand vehicles. But why limit yourself to a white Christmas when you can take in breathtaking red rocks with Jeep Cherokee's available legendary 4x4 capability? Head towards blue waters with Jeep Compass's innovative technology and connectivity. Check out a shimmering light show in Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Or make it a white one through snow-covered hills in Jeep Wrangler, the most capable Wrangler ever. Hurry into the Jeep Black Friday sales event for great deals all month long and make your next adventure the most colorful ever. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, happy birthday, Francis Albert Sinatra, born on this date in 1915. I love me some Frank Sinatra. You know, I was in Las Vegas when he died and they dimmed the lights. It was the first time I ever experienced a Vegas light dimming on the strip. It was pretty spectacular. So happy birthday, Frank Sinatra. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number to join us on the program. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service. From professional parts people you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so LeBron James, leave it to LeBron James to make noise in a conversation that he had with Dwayne Wade. So they kind of ended their little basketball foray, and they played their game at the Staples Center, and it was kind of emotional. You know, they had joined together to win some championships down in Miami. And LeBron says at the end of the game, well, Dwayne Wade says, you know, glad we finished it here. And he says, well, either here or the Garden. And immediately that got picked up by people in New York that went, wait, what? What'd he say? Either here or the Garden? Wait a minute. Did we have a chance to land LeBron James with the Knicks? And now everybody's going crazy, in New York at least. Most people are like, ha, 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 well done, LeBron. I don't know if he's trolling the Knicks or if he actually meant it, what he said. Maybe he did actually think about joining the Knicks. But there's a lot of speculation now that the Knicks had a chance and then they blew it. That would seem so Nick thing to do, but the reality of it is that he probably was thinking, if I'm going to end my career, I want to end it in either two places, New York or Los Angeles. There's off the court stuff that I want to do. Those two cities are great for those kind of things. The venues are great. Staples Center is nice, but the Garden is the Garden. And we all know LeBron has really loved Madison Square Garden. It's a kind of an iconic place. It's a basketball mecca. It's a home. Now, it's funny that the people in New York went nuts when he said it's either here or the Garden, and they just automatically assumed when he said the Garden that he meant Madison Square Garden, and the people of Boston didn't think he was talking about them, because people in Boston know better. Back when it was the Boston Garden, now it's like the TD Bank Garden, whatever, but the Garden is no longer around. In Boston, the Garden is no longer around. Whatever they have now may be called the Garden, but it ain't the Garden. It was just like if the Knicks played somewhere else in Jersey and they just called it Knicks Garden as a homage to Madison Square Garden, you wouldn't call it the Garden. You would say, this is where the Knicks play now.
What if the Garden just alludes to like a rec basketball court?
Maybe that's the case. Maybe it's that. But what about the Rose Garden? Do the Portland Trailblazers still play in the building that was once known as the Rose Garden?
Yeah,
I don't think they do. Maybe there. Nevertheless,
I mean, don't you kind of figure like the way these two guys were going on about it and talking about it, that they're going to have like a Rocky Apollo Creed moment?
Maybe, right?
Just yeah. The two of them just
on a beach somewhere hugging.
On a beach, you know, or, you know, the final fight in Rocky III when Apollo keeps saying, you owe me one.
Yes. And at the end, he goes, you want to ring the bell? Ding, ding. And then they come out and fight.
That's why I figure like LeBron and Dwayne Wade, I can see that happening with them. Just some pickup game somewhere. No one knows it even existed. They're just right on a basketball court somewhere.
That would be kind of cool.
Probably in Miami.
LeBron's exact quote was, it was either here or at the Garden. That's it. It's the only place we could end it. End it, man. Nick, this is great trolling, by the way. This was great trolling. Because here's the deal. I never once, and we were doing the show at the start of the summer when LeBron just signed. I never once thought LeBron James was going anywhere else other than Los Angeles, right? I didn't think it was even in his head that he was going to the Knicks.
I mean, we even commented that it was the quietest move a superstar player has ever made. Because all of a sudden it's like, oh, LeBron's going to Lakers. Well, of course he is.
Yeah.
Well, okay. We're done. That's about it.
Now, imagine if he signed with the Knicks and it just came as a surprise to everybody in New York media. That would have been impossible. Like, there couldn't have been any conversation. If he even implied to anybody that he was going to the Knicks, he must have a circle of trust that is beyond anything I've ever seen in sports. Because if he had even thought about signing with the Knicks, somehow the New York media would have been all over that. They would have found a way to know that. And yet that never came out. They never came out one bit. There was always the speculation, right? Could the Knicks land him? Yeah, the Knicks might have, yeah. But there wasn't any, this thought process. LeBron is actually contemplating the Knicks. He's actually processing, possibly playing for the Knicks. I never heard that one bit. So this was great trolling. This was great. But I don't think it was trolling, though. It just seemed like it was just LeBron just making a point. Look, it was either going to be here in New York, and it was probably going to be here. Like, just because something is 99.9% one way, and there's a slim possibilities the other way. People are implying by this, at least Knicks fans are implying, that the Knicks had a shot. What LeBron is basically saying was, for this moment to happen, I was either going to be here or there. I wasn't going to be in Cleveland. I wasn't going to be in Houston. I wasn't going to be in Portland. I wasn't going to be anywhere else. I was either going to be here or New York, and it was 99.999% that it was going to be here. But to even throw the Garden out there. I mean, just the way Knicks fans went on Twitter, man, it was hilarious.
It's just a troll.
Hilarious.
Just one final jab at a Eastern Conference foe.
I like one Knicks fan who wrote, I hate James Dolan with a passion, and I hate you Knicks. Over this? You hate James Dolan over this? Like, why aren't you on that? Why weren't you on that train like 5 years ago or even longer than that? What's wrong with you? Where have you been? I don't know a Knicks fan that likes James Dolan. Are you kidding me?
My other comment I love, I can't remember who said it, but it was in the post-game analysis after, you know, they talked. And they were talking about, you know, this is the last time LeBron and Dwayne are facing off against each other. And I can't remember who said it, but he's like, yeah, you know, regular season.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's any chance these two teams are going to meet up in the postseason.
Funny. Was that Brian Windhorst?
I don't know if it was him.
Still drinking the LeBron Kool-Aid?
I'm like, well done. Okay. I will concede there's a chance for LeBron to get the Lakers to the Western Conference or to get to back to the NBA Finals because it's LeBron.
You know, what, this season?
I'm bear with me here. It's more of a reality for the Lakers to get to the Western or to win the Western Conference than it would be for the Heat to win the Eastern Conference.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah.
So that's
still
all I'm saying.
Both. Yeah, still
it's
both
a long
are
shot.
Big probabilities,
it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, what if Steph Curry? What if Buzz Aldrin punches him so hard because of the moon landing and he can't play for 3-5 months?
Miami's below 500. I mean, they're not a good basketball
team. They're not going to make the playoffs.
No, they're on the outside looking in right now. So
yes, this is the final time these two guys are ever facing off against
each other.
Was it always a rivalry, or is it just because they were teammates?
No, it's because they were teammates, and they're really good friends.
That's it. I don't know why it was a bigger deal. It's like they were trying to compare it to, like, Magic and Bird.
No, not even close. Those guys, I mean, they didn't get along for a while before they became really good friends. SB Nation AM.
Are you wearing your hat too much to cover that hairline?
Well, yes, I am.
Go to forhims.com/cheer for help. That's forhims.com/cheer. Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hanging off the sidelines to get paid big to play, whether it's basketball, football, hockey. It's all there on BetDSI. Get front row action to all your favorite teams right now. Make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI, one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. It is the one place you can bet on the NFL, NCAA football, Major League Baseball, UFC, NBA, and more. Has super quick payouts and bonuses. There's even a live feature that allows you to watch your team play before you even bet. I'll even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. Play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Go to SBNationRadio.com. Click on the BetDSI banner. You'll double your first deposit. 100% bonus. Join the winning team at SBNationRadio.com. Click on the BetDSI banner. Use the promo code WIN101. That's WIN101. Why leave money on the table when you can double it? Log on to SBNationRadio.com and click on the BetDSI banner and use our code WIN101. All right, so continuing to look ahead at the NFL schedule this weekend. The playoff picture is so fascinating to me. I am nervous as you are solid with the Chargers making the playoffs. I am nervous that the Steelers season is going to go down the tubes.
A lot of crazy things would have to happen for the Chargers to implode.
Yeah,
I mean,
the
craziest one, I would almost guarantee they would miss the playoffs if Rivers goes down with an injury.
Yeah, that's true. So, but even then, they might still squeak out a win.
And even then, they just might fall into it based on other teams just losing.
So the Steelers play the Patriots, the Saints, and the Bengals. I mean, just a team that can't afford to lose pretty much any game is now now needing to beat two of the top teams in both the AFC and the NFC in back-to-back weeks with a team that is in complete disarray after a five-hour flight back to Pittsburgh from Oakland after their loss to the Raiders, losing three in a row. Man, at one point when Roethlisberger went in the end zone against Jacksonville late in the fourth quarter, it was like, okay, that was a little too close for comfort against a crappy Jacksonville team. But you know what? At least a win is a win. It is six in a row, and they are one of the top teams in the NFL. Not so fast. Losing three straight in all to the AFC West. They could not make the playoffs. If they imagine it, imagine going, like, that's the thing this league is good at. It's good at, you better be careful. Like, don't take anything for granted. Better, you know, everything's rolling along in October, but it's not one in October. It could be rolling along in by mid-November, but it's not one in mid-November. You got to be playing well in December. You've got to be making up for some mistakes that you made earlier in the season. This league will let you do that. Not every team in the playoffs is 12-4, 13-3. If you can get to that 9-win, 8-win plateau Anything can happen. You don't know where it's going to be. And that's what I think this league does really well. And that has been its goal for a very, very long time. It didn't want this great divide between the teams that are really good and the teams that are terrible. And it knows because of what it is, which is the postseason is one game and one game only, and that term any given Sunday, et cetera, et cetera. It's not like the NBA. If you're an eight seed in the NBA and you're in a seven game series with Golden State or Toronto, you're gonna have a hard time winning that series. You just are. Barring injury, it's unlikely that you will. Now, we've seen some things happen, sure, but in a seven game series, it is hard to beat a really good team four times. In the NFL, it doesn't matter. You can surprise a team. You can catch a break. A bad interception leads to a touchdown. Before you know it, you might be up to... It doesn't matter. We've seen it play out too many times, right? The Saints having to go on the road to face a 7-9 Seahawks team and losing, right? We've seen these kind of things happen. That's what this league does. That's one of the reasons why it's popular. The nature of the sport is, you know, also makes it popular. But I think the emphasis on... You're never quite done. You're never quite finished, even if you don't make the playoffs, right? Even if in the end you don't make it. We were kind of talking about this earlier in the last hour. We were saying, you know, here's a scenario for the Cleveland Browns to make the postseason. It's not out of the realm of possibility. It's actually pretty decent. You know, the Browns win out. They need the Ravens to lose one more time, and they need the Steelers to lose twice, and they play the Patriots and the Saints. That's not crazy talk. Now, maybe for the Giants, who need a whole bunch of things to happen because they're competing for a wildcard spot. That I get. But at least in December, here it is mid-December, and if you're a Giants fan and your team went 1-7, you're not done. It may be impossible, and I'm not asking you to go believe and put all your money on the Giants, but it's not officially done yet. There is a path. It takes a lot of help, but you're not finished. That is so different than in other sports. In baseball, teams are done by June. They're done by June, right? I mean, a lot of them are. It's not just an Arizona equivalent or a San Francisco equivalent. July comes around. A lot of teams have no chance of making the postseason. So you have to sell a big, huge future. The NFL doesn't sell you the future. It's insane that Jacksonville took all of those draft picks, only produced one decent season. That's not the norm. It's not supposed to be the way it is. And if that is the way it is, fire your general manager and everybody in the front office, because that's not the way this league is designed. On the flip side of these kind of teams like the Browns and like the Titans who were put to dead a while ago, or like the Giants who need a miracle but not quite dead yet of making the postseason, is the flip side that you really shouldn't be a couple of years away and a couple of years removed from turning everything around. The salary cap is going to increase. You all play with the same amount of money. There isn't a big market team that gets to spend more because they're willing to pay a luxury tax. You better fit in within the cap. And that goes for everybody, no matter what market, no matter what media size you are. And if you can't put together a winning team, if you can't draft well or find the right free agents or find the right coach or get the right quarterback or whatever over a period of time, you can't do this job. This is a league that you shouldn't be content as a fan base to, well, given our market size, every now and then we're good, like maybe once or twice in a generation. But for the most part, it's just about the young people that are coming up, and I like eating a hot dog and having a beer on a Tuesday night. That's not the way this league is. People don't go to NFL games for the social aspect of it. They go to the other ones for social aspects of it. I used to go to Celtics games a lot when I was in college and even afterwards with the radio station. You could walk around the concourse and see people just talking, right? Not even watching the NBA game, just talking. It's a Wednesday night. Charlotte's in town. Yeah, Celtics playing. Yap, yap, yap. Saw it with the Nuggets for years. Same with hockey, although hockey fans are a little bit more enthusiastic, a little bit more into the game. They're kind of a different kind of sports fan. But baseball, you could leave a stadium and not even remember who you played. But in the NFL is not that. It's not that. These games are big, they're important, they matter, and the league is set up so that no matter who you are, you're not supposed to stink for that long. What's happened in Cleveland is actually ridiculous, and it should be ridiculous, and it shouldn't be accepted as anything less than ridiculous. The team was formed in 1999 as an expansion team to make up for the fact that the Ravens, the Browns left to become the Ravens. They gave the city of Cleveland back a franchise because they knew that's a strong fan base. They deserve football. We've got to find a way to get them football. So they gave them an expansion team. Not a relocated team, an expansion team, just like the Carolina Panthers, just like the Houston Texans, just like the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they said, here's an expansion team, build it. And the fact that they've made the playoffs once and have won playoff game in close to 20 years is insane. That's insane. You're dealing with the same amount of money, the same player pool, the same draft. You've got to find people and personnel that can make this happen. There's no excuse for it. There's none. If you're the general manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, the Rays have had success, but just recently they got rid of a lot of players and were surprisingly good last year. But you could actually go to your fan base and say, well, we won 90 games or 89 games, whatever it was they won last year. Yeah, you know what? We want to build on that. But you know what? We still have to make some moves. We still have to clear up some payroll. We might have to get rid of a couple of guys. But we feel like down the road, we might be able to build something. Or if you're in Kansas City, you say the same thing. Pittsburgh, you say the same thing. And, you know, fan bases go, whatever. Imagine if you're the Browns in 1999 and you're at a press conference to announce this team. And you've got a new coach and you got a Tim Couch as your draft pick and you've got a, you know, a stadium that's going to be built. And you say, we're going to be bringing you a winner here in Cleveland in 30 years. How would that go over in football? It doesn't go over well in football because it's inexcusable that it would take forever to build a winner. It shouldn't. So again, as we go over these playoff scenarios, it's awesome that the Giants have need 19 steps to make the playoffs here with 3 weeks. It's awesome. Why is it awesome? Why is it awesome even if you know deep down it's not going to happen? It's awesome because the team went 1-7 to start the season. 1-7. That's the equivalent, hear me out here, that's the equivalent in Major League Baseball of starting the season 1-70, 10-70, 10-70. And yet, flip that switch around, you still are technically alive, you still need a miracle, but it's still a miracle. Because there's a miracle, and then there's just outright impossibility. The miracle leaves it open that it could happen. And yes, Giants probably could lose this weekend in Tennessee. It'd all be done. We come back here on Monday. Oh, that was fun. Whoops, whatever. But at least late with 3 games left, a 1-7 team, somebody could sit at a computer and create a 19-step list of everything they need to do to make the playoffs. That's crazy. But that's what this league does, and that's what's special about it. And it doesn't happen anywhere else, right? It barely happens in college football, right? You don't lose 3 games to start the season and then still make a run to the college football playoff. A lot of it's because it's 4 games. But in this league, you can. It's hard. It's really difficult, but it can be done. Because we're in the end, this league has a few teams on the extreme, but everything else is really in the middle. It really is in the middle. I say this over and over again all the time, and it's not my original thought. I'm borrowing it from everybody else that says the same thing. Because we want to remind some of you that the difference between the team at the top and the team at the bottom of this league is so small, it's barely visible. It's barely visible. Why was I able last week? Why was I convinced last week that the team I root for and the team that I followed since I was a little kid, every year, why was I convinced that they would go on the road to Oakland and lose to a garbage team like the Raiders? That got rid of all of its players and are trying to build themselves up through the draft. Why? Because I knew it's razor thin and the Steelers, for whatever reason, have trouble in certain situations and going on the West Coast is one of them. And that is a factor not to be overlooked. Because it is razor thin. It's not that difficult. And yes, sure, you get a Rams team, play a crappy Arizona team, beat them by 50 points, whatever. Yeah, whatever, but that happens. But sometimes that crappy team puts up a fight and loses by 3 or wins by 3. And that's what makes this league great, because that doesn't happen in college football. You get the Citadel at Alabama, even if they're tied at halftime, Alabama's winning 100 out of 100 times. But you get a group of professionals scattered over 32 teams, you could have a situation where you need 19 steps to make the playoffs after starting the year 1-7. Maybe 19, but it's better than 0. 800-777-2907, SB Nation AM.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could join us, SB Nation AM, getting closer. Are we 2 weeks away from Christmas now?
I think so.
Or is it less than, it's less than 2 weeks, right?
Less than 2 weeks.
Is Christmas on a Wednesday, or is it a Tuesday? I don't know. Is it Tuesday? Okay, so we're now shorter than 2 weeks.
Yep.
Are we now at the window, if you order something online, forget it, it ain't coming, unless you pay exorbitant amount of prices or
God,
you have time?
I hope not. I'm not done yet.
Yeah. All right, I'm not either. I asked my son the other day, I said, do you want to go to the store and pick up some things for mom this weekend? He goes, like, what time? I go, what do you mean, what time? He goes, oh, I got things to do. I go, we're going to buy your mother Christmas presents. What do you mean you got things to do? What happened to run it? Let's go run and find some stuff.
Yeah, see, I'm still at the age where I got to, or I'm still in the era of my kids' ages where I got to steer them in the right direction, or else mom will end up getting a Barbie doll or some soap.
Right. You get the soap that smells like salad from Bed Bath & Beyond, right? Like cucumber watermelon or cucumber tomato or
Cobb salad with French dressing.
The
one thing my kids do like getting for her, and my wife does appreciate them because she does enjoy a nice bath, are those bath bombs.
Oh, those bath bombs are great.
There's a specialty shop here. You might have them in your area called Lush. And that's all they do is just bath stuff. And they're really? Gigantic bath bombs.
Wow.
And they're just fun.
Those are good gifts.
You just put them in there and they, bubble and sizzle and turn the bathtub all different colors.
Yeah, that's all right. That's kind of, that seems like a winning gift. One year we got my wife a chocolate fondue set because we wanted chocolate fondue. And she was like, thanks. And I was like, this is the gift that keeps on giving. She's like, And you know what? Sure enough, we used it twice. I think we've used it.
Of course you did.
It's a mess. I love chocolate fondue, though. It's the best. You break out some bananas, some bread, some pound cake, right? Some marshmallows. Start dipping into the chocolate fountain. It was a chocolate fountain.
Yeah.
You melt the chocolate and starts dripping. It's fantastic. But we only use it twice. So hard to clean. It's submerge it in water, scrub it with like a brush. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh, forget it. I'm out.
Like I got a juicer one year thinking, I'm going to juice because I got to find a better way to consume vegetables than eating them because I don't really like them. So if you just quickly make me a juice, it was great the first like five times, and then cleaning it was such a hassle, I put it in the closet.
that bullet thing?
Yeah, right? It's so loud too. You're like cutting up pineapple and shoving it in there with the beets. But then afterwards, man, scrub that thing out with a brush.
Everything I need needs to be dishwasher.
Yeah, I know. I need a dishwasher. Yeah, exactly. I'm too lazy. That's so my lazy role.